Well, I just wonder if, with regards to the question, when you have a fruit tree, the fruit is manifest. It bears fruit. So the thought of being of the fruit of the Spirit, it is manifest in the outworking of what Chuck has just brought before us and going through. And I'm going to say it this way, as we often think about it, the fruits, plural, as you just described it, okay, of the Spirit. And yet the Scripture says here, the fruit.
Fruit.
Okay. And so when we see that it's the fruit that comes from one stem, okay? And it's the Spirit of God is the energy that brings the fruit. And the fruit is all tied together as one. We see it in all of these fruits, plural, that were just brought before us. But we see them all together as one in the Spirit of God. They're united as one. It's not all these different things, but it's all from Christ. It's all of the Spirit of God. It is one fruit that manifests that life of the Spirit of God, that power in me, and it manifests it outward.
In verse 19, we see that the word works is actually pluralized because it's of the flesh, and the flesh won't try to entangle you with one or two sins. It'll get you with as many as you can. But the word, and Brother John got to this before I did, the word fruit in verse 22 is singular. And when you're led by the Holy Spirit, the only goal is to be Christ-like. And that's the fruit, to be Christ-likeness. And here we have nine fruits that are characteristics of Christ. And we can spend eternities and eternities just dissecting each and every fruit. But instead, I want to leave you with this. The fruit will only grow if it's attached to a stem, if it's attached to something, and only the fruit will only be the result of that stem. If you will never grow a banana fruit from an apple tree. It'll never happen. And so you may ask, how can I make these fruits evident in my life? And the first thing, and probably one of the most important things, is to abide in Christ. And in John chapter 15, the first few verses, if we can just read them. Verse 1 says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it and brings forth much fruit. So that's the first thing. If you bear fruit, you'll bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, and no more ye, except ye abide in me. So if the branch is not attached to anything, it's not going to bear anything. And also in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So once again, we bear fruit, and Christ will amplify that. He'll enhance it, and we'll bear forth more fruit. And verse 5 ends, without me, ye can do nothing. And how true that is.
I just wanted to make a short comment on the question that was asked, or the statement that you can't see my heart, in regards with the example that the beloved brother Emo said earlier.
Now you got it.
when somebody on the road is pulled over, was the police officer with him when he was drinking? The police officer doesn't know that he was drinking, but he sees the way that he's driving. He sees that it's moving, it's not driving in a straight line. So he makes the conclusion that there is something wrong. He wasn't sitting with the guy at the bar or something and watching him drinking, but he knows from the way that he's driving or from the way that we are walking that there is something wrong. And the same way goes for somebody that's driving right on the road. You see that he does his stops well, he respects his turn and everything, that, so you know that this person is different. He does the things the right way.
You had asked before how to please God, and the answer was through the fruit of the Spirit. And what I think is interesting is that each one of these fruit of the Spirit is not necessarily a work or an act, but it's an attitude.
And just, Andrew, quickly, why it's not manifested, the works of the flesh are revealed or manifested and the fruit of the Spirit is not. The nine compartments of those are like the pomegranate, and you have to peel it. You have to peel the fruit. You got it? The other ones are they're ugly, they're right there. Mm. But for that, you have to peel the fruit to manifest it.
And then I think that a good word is that this is what is produced in the life of the believer. The Spirit of God, when we are under His influence, this is what is produced. This is part of the Christian character. And one thing about the fruit of the Spirit is that it is so that the world will see that I'm connected to Christ. If you go through these various elements, if you would, they're all things that have been seen in the life of Christ, displayed here when He was upon the earth. We think of Him as one who displayed love, right? There's joy, peace, long-suffering. Think about, you know, the Lord's bearing with those that were around Him. The gentleness of the Lord Jesus. It was said that of His gentle character, goodness, His faith. Think about the meek and lowly place the Lord Jesus took. So the Spirit of God, He who has been given to us, wants to produce in your life, in my life, the character of Christ. And then that becomes evident to those who are around me.
Yes. Probably going to move us to chapter 6.
Well, I am, but I'm going to make one comment before it.
And there's one back here.
Who is the perfect example of this fruit? And Tony just hit right there on it. I turn to the Gospels, and I see the Lord Jesus as the one that perfectly displayed this fruit. But then I come to the book of Acts, and I find that there are disciples there. And do you know what the world took knowledge of? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How'd that happen? Was it because of special clothes? Special anything about them? Here's what it was because of. They were just like Him. They were just like the Lord Jesus. And then the world later called them Christians. There were bunches of them everywhere. Again, it was a name of disdain at that time. What did the world see? These people walk just like the man of Calvary. And so this is what the Lord wants to see in our lives and our hearts. They that are Christ, that's a company. That's a select group that's set before me there. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Violent, horrible illustration, death to that old man. Put him to death. They have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in or by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then He's going to give us in chapter 6 examples that come from men and women who have seen the truth of the Spirit working in their lives. We're going to see how does it manifest itself outwardly. We see, first of all, a brother that sinned. He's taken in a fault. We see another brother that has a burden. He needs help. We see another one who's communicating truth to others. This is the practical effect of these things being seen in our lives here. So who has a hymn?
There's one comment over here.
Just had a comment. Just a verse, actually, in Luke 6, verse 35, the end of the verse. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So I just thought that, like, just how to produce good fruit and stuff and, like, have a good testimony and stuff, you have to have good in your heart. You can't just, like, fake it your whole life. You have to, because eventually what's in your heart will show. And, yeah, that's it.
All right, to stand.
verses from him or hold him.